Hey, Open Mic Podcast listeners. Want to share your opinions, give me feedback, or tell me what you're thinking? If you do, send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio that might end up in future episodes of the podcast. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform that I use to make this show. Here are some things that I would love to hear from you. What questions do you have for me? What did you think of the episode? What did you think of the topic? Who should I interview next? Make up a theme song. I don't know. Do your best impression of me. I'll see all of your messages and I might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send me a voice message right now from wherever you're at, wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in my show notes and I can't wait to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to the Open Mic Podcast. Until next time, cheers and be well and enjoy today's episode.
It's time for the Open Mic Podcast with your host, Brett Allen. Broadcasting live from the Bay Area studios, here at the Open Mic, no topic is off limits. And of course, you never know who may stop by. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's show.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday to you. Thursday, whatever the day of the week is for you, wherever you're at on this big, beautiful planet. Thank you so much for listening in and joining in on today's episode. Chris Medina is on the podcast today, and we actually recorded this interview a while ago. I think most of you probably know how this works, but obviously things get pre-recorded in advance, and the way that the show is set up is it airs like as if the guest is on currently. That's technical mumbo jumbo. I apologize. And bothering you with the nonsense. But anyway, Chris does a reading for me. As I mentioned, he's a medium and a psychic, and he did a reading for me, and it was amazing. And it was long. It lasted about an hour, I would say. And then the interview itself was about 45 minutes or so. Add all that together, that's a long time for an episode. I like to keep my shows to 45 minutes to an hour max. And so you're going to get most of that reading in this episode, and I just want to tell you that. So if it sounds like he's skipping around, it's just because I had to edit it down for time. And not to mention, there were a couple things that we talked about as well for the protection of certain people. I didn't want to put that out on the airwaves. It's not my business to do so, and I want to respect that. And I just do. Now, you're probably thinking, why? You know, no topic is off limits. Well, there are certain things that are off limits, especially when it comes to other people. My ex-wife, I know I've talked a lot about her on the show in that sense, but in this particular episode and this reading, it got deep and it got serious, and there were just some things that were shared that were 100% accurate that he saw and read into me and that I agreed with, but they just didn't make it on the air. But you're going to get the bulk of the interview, or I'm sorry, the reading, that the most important and significant things, and nothing is too out of context. But I wanted to share that with you in all honesty and transparency, just so you know. But it was a great one, and I'm excited for you to check it out. So Chris Medina, welcome in to the podcast, sir. It's good to have you here today.
Oh my God, thank you, Brett, so much for having me on. I really, really appreciate it. How are you?
I am doing really well. It's Friday, so
I know,
life,
right?
Life is good. We made it through the week. And for those listening, the connection here is I have had Ali Levine on my show, and now I'm producing her new podcast, and her and Chris are friends, and so we made the connection. And as I mentioned early on in the intro to the show a little bit, Chris is a Hollywood psychic or celebrity psychic. How do you describe yourself? I don't want to misstep in describing what it is that you do.
I'm getting used to the whole celebrity reading thing. So for right now, I'm just going to go with psychic medium Chris Medina.
I like it. Keeping it simple. So how long have you been doing this, and how did you get into it for those who are listening that might not be super familiar with what you do?
Yeah, sure. I have been a psychic medium my entire life. I was born this way. There was no bump on the head or horrible accident that turned me this way. I've always had the ability to kind of see things that most people don't, and also cross over to the other side. I don't know how you would like to call it, but I say the medium side, the spiritual side, the ghost side, all that good stuff. I really started tapping into the medium side when I was around 6 or 7 years old, and started doing this professionally about 5 years ago. I had horrible asthma as a child and was laid up in the hospital from the age of like 2 to 6, like nonstop, constantly. And I remember back then, my guides, I don't know what else to call them. People want to know who they are. I usually just say they, but for lack of a better word, we'll just go with the word guides. My guides would talk to me. It was almost like hearing, almost like a parent figure talking to, but inside your head. And they wouldn't show themselves. They would just leave messages with me. And they had told me, because I was like really, really sick. And I know it's so weird to have a five-year-old talk about wanting to die while they're young. But again, I had really bad asthma. It was horrible. I couldn't breathe most of the time. And I was just tired. I was tired of going to the doctors, tired of being poked, tired of staying overnight. And I had told my guides out loud that I was ready to die, that I wasn't scared anymore. And they had came in and they were like, no, this is not going to happen. You need to stay strong. We've got other plans for you. You're gonna change the way the world looks at things later on. But for right now, you need to get better. So basically along those lines. And then I went through my whole teenage years without doing it, most of my adult years. And then towards the end of 2014 is when everything came to a crashing halt. And I was actually introduced to my current path now, which is now a psychic medium helping people transform their lives and evolve their soul.
Very cool. And I think you've been asked this question before, but just for the sake of argument for our listeners, this is something that is on all the time, right? It's not something that you can shut off.
No, not at all. I can do the medium side. If somebody comes through that I don't want coming through, or I'm getting nagged by it, like getting touched at night, I get touched like almost every night, or people coming through, I can shut that off and tell them to go away. But the psychic stuff, never, it never stops. It's always on.
It's very intense, to be honest. And I was joking with Allie, she'll probably come up a lot in this conversation, but I was joking with her last night a little about it, that I was kind of nervous. And I get nervous for most interviews, but this one in particular, I don't know why that is, but I think I'm fine now. So I want to ask you, what is the difference between a psychic medium versus like mentalism or mind reading? Because this isn't like for show or parlor. This isn't like something you would see on America's Got Talent. This is like a real thing, correct?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. There's no tricks, no gimmicks. It's all, I was really thinking about this before I did the show. It's funny. I thought about this yesterday. As a matter of fact, my guides flashed back to the time where I did a Comic-Con and there was a kid that came up to the table. You know how kids can be kind of shitty. They came up to the table and they were like, I want you to read my mind, tap into my mind and tell me what I'm thinking. And for like a second there, I was like, okay, well, what's the difference between a psychic and a mind reader? I can read into the past, present, and future. I can tell you where you're at now, dip into your past, I give you futuristic type hits. I can't read every thought that's going on in your mind, but I can tap into your memories. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but again, I'd be a complete billionaire if I was able to read people's minds every second of the day. But yeah, it's mostly like just hits, it's premonitions, it's feelings about that person. Again, dipping into their past life, where they're at presently, what's coming up in the future, things they need to work with. I always tell people the soul is the first thing that speaks out to me. So that's where I like to go with my readings. You'll find that a lot of times these mentalists or these supposed mind readers or charlatans, parlor trick type people, what they do is they start talking about futuristic type hits. I always go with what's going on right now. That way it resonates with you at this point in your life right now. So there's no gimmicks or anything that I'm trying to pull out of thin air to make you believe. Does that make sense?
It does. It really does. Have you ever been in situations before where you're doing a reading for somebody and it's too much for you or too much for them and you just have to kind of back off a little bit and just go, this is too much, or this doesn't feel right, or maybe I don't want to say you feel in danger necessarily, but does that question make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Yeah, there's times where people are, and again, it sounds so shitty to tell people that, you know, there's people that are never going to make anything out of their lives, or they're self-sabotaging, or they're never going to grow and evolve. But truthfully and honestly, not to be crappy or not to shoot anybody down, we all know that there's people, we know people personally, that are just never going to change who they are. So when I get involved in a reading and I'm bringing up stuff that's either past life or things that they need to work on now, whether it's codependency or, you know, self-sabotaging, I have to stop myself because I get so wrapped up in that because I can see past what they're holding onto and letting them know that, hey, if you let go of this, it's going to be great. But there are those people that just don't want to move. And that's where I'll stop the reading. I will honestly give them their money back and say, there's nothing I can do for you at this point in time right now. You're just not ready to hear it or accept the information right now. And again, it's no harm, no foul. They'll get there when they need to. But yeah, there are times to answer your question where I had to pull myself back or stop the reading. Or I know this sounds weird, but if the person has negative energy or their intention is kind of bad and I should not be around them for an extended period of time, I swear I'll get a migraine. So a good time,
really?
A good majority of the time my guides will step in and say, that's enough. Because me as Chris Medina, as just humans, the human side of Chris, I always want to go above and beyond and help that person and try to make them realize things that they don't see. But my guides have other plans. They really want me to focus on what's going on and really help those that are wanting to change their lives.
Yeah, I think, so that brings me to my next question. So when somebody comes to you, they kind of have to be in a space, you would say, right, where they need to be prepared to receive the information or kind of open-minded, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes there's people that come in and they want to test. They've been through several psychics. They've gone through, you know, they've gone to the $25 palm reader that's, you know, up and down every boulevard in every major city and gotten readings there. And they've always kind of been like we talked about a second ago, you know, parlor tricks or more of like, you know, gimmicky. So when I step in, the first thing, and this is where I like to pride myself on my readings, is that the first thing I do, again, is tap into what's going on with you right now. I don't want to talk about the future or go into a past life because there's no way to validate any of that stuff. I want to hit what's going on now. I want the soul to tell me what's holding you back right now. So a good majority of the times people come in and they want to be open, but at the same time, they're skeptical. So at the minute I start going in and reading what's going on now, it changes their outlook or it changes their attitude toward it. And they start to open up a little bit more.
So I can imagine with this ability that you have, social situations, can they become a bit challenging for you because you're just picking up on so many different things that are going on around you?
Oh my God, ask Allie. A bunch of my friends that I go out with, they're always telling me, you need to relax. I can tell that you're reading people. Like we said earlier, I can't shut it off. And if somebody's introduced to me, my first instinct, the first thing I do is I look past who they are. I look past their material self and tap into who they are underneath all that stuff. So again, I have to catch myself doing that and making sure that I know it sounds weird, but I'm material. I'm surface level when I go to parties. That's the mode that I have to put my mind into when I go into social situations like that.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially with the speed at which Ali lives life and has to do things. It has to be a lot, especially with all the parties and everything. And just, I've seen videos where you're at their house and there's just a million different things going on. It's so interesting to me. Now, there was a point, I've seen some shows and different things on television about kids specifically having this gift. And there are different terms I've heard for it. Like there's a religious term. I think discernment is the term, or just being able to pick up on things. Do you think that children have this gift? I don't really know how to ask this question. It's I'm kind of in my head. I'm thinking, okay, so I hate to use this, but the movie, The Sixth Sense, the Bruce Willis film, that's kind of my frame of reference for all of these things. This little kid was able to see things and experience things. Do you think that the kids have this gift naturally, or does that question make sense? Like they're more in tune to things than we might be as adults?
Absolutely, 100%. I'll give you a good example. Amelia, which is Allie's daughter, she is, you know, she's a brand new baby. She just turned one. And a lot of times I experienced this growing up too. A lot of times parents shoot the child down. They come into the material world. I mean, they're born. We're very intuitive when we're born. We're innocent. We're fresh. We're new. It's society. It's the material world that jades our vision and our perception. And I always talk about this on my podcast. Had I not have had my guides and they weren't so hands-on, they were more like parents at the very beginning, I probably would have fell victim to not really utilizing my intuition in the way that it was supposed to be used. Mm-hmm. So going back to Amelia and picking up on her energy, she knew instantly. This is where I always talk about this kid because she's so special to me. One day I was sitting there, I was looking at her and I was holding her and my third eye started throbbing. I know that sounds so hokey, but it was throbbing and I could feel it was pulsating. Amelia, I shit you not, knew that it was pulsating. She put her head towards my forehead and started laughing. She started giggling. She could feel it. So again, kids are very, very perceptive. They're very open. It's the parents, it's society, it's people that jeeds their gift or their ability.
I think so. It's so I just, if you could see my face, I'm processing all this information because it's just, it's a lot, but it's so interesting because I'm just not familiar with this world in particular. Let's talk about seances. What is that all about? Like the whole Ouija board world, seances, is that kind of thing would be more in the camp of like entertainment, or is that sort of thing, is that real? Is it related? What is that all about?
What you see on television and what you see people doing, like on these ghost hunting adventure shows and things like that, that's played up to the media, but they are 100% real. Seances, Ouija boards, I speak from personal experience. I've actually dabbled in Ouija boards at the age of like 7 years old, all the way up until like I was 12 or 13 and really got into it. And I can tell you right now, they are real. There are spirits behind that that move the board or the little marker on there to, you know, to speak directly to you. I've been to seances where they've, I don't know how you want to, where they've contacted the other side. I do it on a daily basis as well too. So it is very real, but the media, what television does now is they hype it up and it makes it look so hokey that people are just like yourself questioning, is this real or is this just for show?
So I can imagine when you get around family or, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, if you celebrate those holidays, it can just be very interesting, I imagine, when you show up. Do people want to ask you things? Do they want to ask questions? Do they just hound you with you? Or do you just kind of back it up a little bit and just, you're just Chris and that's it?
My family, honestly, to be honest with you, my family would never have said Chris is a psychic medium. They would have always said that Chris is really good at giving advice, or he's very knowledgeable on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. The psychic term is brand new to me as well too, but it's truly what it is. I am a psychic medium. So my family just uses me or talks to me as like, you know, a point of reference, or like, what do you think about this? You know, what can you tell me about that? So it's very different to call me a psychic with the family and friends than it is to the public now. But yeah, I get around people like friends, like, you know, I'll go out to parties with Allie or a bunch of my other friends. And the minute they find out I'm a psychic, here comes all the questions.
Oh, I can imagine. So how do you guard yourself about that? Like, obviously what we're doing is an interview and we talked off record, or I'm sorry, before we started rolling tape, that we'll do something fun here at the end. But how do you guard your personal life? If that's the case, if you go out, or how do you decide, this is Chris just kind of hanging out? I know you mentioned that you're very surface level, which I can understand that, but if people just start bombarding you, is it hard for you to tell people what you do, or do you kind of like to just keep it a secret and just not tell people unless you're absolutely pushed against the wall to tell people what you do?
No, I used to at the very beginning have a problem with it, because you don't know if anybody has religious beliefs or, you know, they have issues with the psychic because of what they see on television and stuff. So I used to like, you know, oh, I'm in the counseling industry, but now I just say a full-blown psychic, and I've really learned how to set my boundaries. I've really, you know, stepped up to the plate and tell people now, you know, I'm just Chris right now. I'm not psychic Chris right now. I just want to enjoy my time off. I'm not working right now. So you really have to set boundaries with people, you know, or else they're just gonna, you know, come to you and be like, read my mind or tell me this, you know.
So how do you draw the line between just if somebody asks you a question for peer advice versus like going into that world, or do they just blend and you have to make a conscious decision about how you want to approach it?
Yeah, like I'll give them a little bit, like if they have a question or whatever and I can tap into them, I can see that they're a good person and it's something that might help them move along a lot quicker, I'll give them just a little bit of it. But at the end of the day, again, not because of the money situation or, you know, wanting to use this as a business, I do this as a business. This is what I do for work here. And a lot of times, again, people want to blur the boundaries with me when I'm at an event or doing things because I am a psychic and they know that I'm always on. I just have to, you know, step in and be like, this is, you know, I'm not working right now, but if you want to set up a session, I'm more than willing to read you aside from this.
When you're not doing this, what do you do? How do you relax? How do you enjoy life? I know we've talked about Allie a few times and I know she'll listen to this. So it's kind of funny, but I mean, what is life like for you outside of this particular, this lifestyle or this thing that you do? Like, how is life normal for you, or is it even normal?
Geez, the last 2 years have been all over the place. My sentence of raising kids is over. Both my kids are of age. I have a soon-to-be 20-year-old and a 19-year-old. So my sentence is over. Back then, I would, you know, it'd be all about parenting and taking care of the family. But now, over the last 2 years, it's just me. I'm able to go and do what I want to do. It's a lot of meditation. It's a lot of, you know, just a lot of downtime connecting, checking in with myself, writing, you know, getting myself ready for the show and other future things that I plan on doing here. It's all brand new to me right now in this space and time, as far as like having time to myself.
Speaking of, we mentioned this earlier when we were defining your title just as psychic medium, but now that this whole Hollywood thing has come into play, what has that adjustment been like for you as more celebrities, so to speak, reach out to you and want to get a part of you? How do you manage all of that?
Oh my God, it's insane. I'm excited. I am completely blessed and honored to do it. But at the same time, it is just like everybody else. I mean, celebrities really, I mean, we put them on a pedestal and we really look at them in a different light. But if you stop and think about it, I mean, doing this, being a psychic medium and being able to tap into what other people don't see, it really just gives you a different perspective on a celebrity, because at the end of the day, they're normal people with normal everyday issues. They're just in the public and they're really, you know, under a microscope. So doing that and getting involved with it and really, you know, learning how to, how to come into it without offending, because you're always afraid of reading a celebrity and going into a party like that and, you know, oversharing or over saying things. And again, when I do my readings, it's very, very deep. It's very thorough. It's not like what you see on television or what you get on the street or whatever. It's completely deep. It's things that only that person that I'm reading would know what I'm talking about. So again, I have to find that balance between not overstepping my boundaries and not saying things in front of other people that are going to give away the celebrity. I know that sounds
It makes sense. Like, you don't want to out somebody, so to speak,
exactly.
Of something that they're probably not wanting the world to share. So you mentioned you have kids, which I think is awesome. I am a dad myself. What was life growing up for your kids in this? Like, did you do it with them, or did they just go, "This is dad, stop it, don't do this"? How did that whole dynamic work? I'm very curious, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit, because I find that part so intriguing.
Not at all. Actually, the making of my children was something my guide stepped to me around the age of 21. I lived a very fast life from the age of like 14 all the way up to 21. I was mostly on my own, experimenting, doing different things. I got involved in drugs and partying, and you know, by the time I was 21 and old enough to drink, I had done everything that I wanted to do. So my guides had stepped in and they were like, "It's time to think about having a child." And I'm like, first of all, I'm not involved in a relationship with a woman. I'm obviously gay. That's going to be difficult. And they were like, "No, this is the next step for you." And I was like, "Well, who am I going to have this baby with?" And so they brought somebody into my past that I dated in high school into my mind's eye and told me, "This is the person that you're going to have children with." And I was like, "I'm not talking to this person anymore. This is like so crazy. How is this even going to work?" And to make a long story short, I ended up out of nowhere getting in contact with this person. It just so happened that they were talking to a family member of mine they had stayed in touch with. So I was able to connect with them that way. And I started getting different hits about the baby that was to come into play. I got hits that it was going to be a girl. I knew what she was going to look like. I knew that she was going to be born with a lot of hair. I knew that her cheeks were going to be chubby. Her hair was going to be curly, and that it was going to obviously be a girl. So that was like, that was huge for me. I was kind of like, okay, this is the next step. What's going to happen? Is this something that I'm going to have to, like, you know, I know it's going to sound gross, but am I going to have to do it more than one time in order to make this happen? And like clockwork, I know it sounds weird and it sounds crazy. The very first day that we decided to do the deed is when she got pregnant. Yeah. So my daughter was born in January of 1999, came in, looked exactly the way that I had envisioned her. Prior to her being born, there was the problem with the name. I was thinking of all these different names to name her. I was like, "Well, what do you want? What name do you want? Tell me what name you want." And so I kept seeing the name Faith all over everywhere. You know, Faith Christian Church, Faith Lutheran Church, Faith this, Faith that. The song Faith would come on. Faith Evans, who's a singer, was on the radio at that time all over the place. I was like, "Is that the name that you want?" And I just had a good feeling with it. So that's what we ended up naming my daughter, was Faith. She was born in January 1999. Just instant connection with her. And then fast forward a few more months forward, my kids' mom wanted a boy. She said that she had seen the way that my relationship was with my daughter, even though she was so young, that she wanted a mama's boy, a boy. And I was like, "I don't know if I can make that happen. Like, you know, like I just can't snap my fingers and this is going to come into play." Exactly what happened. Fast forward a few months later, she gets pregnant. And then, you know, 9 months later, it is a boy. Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool.
So to answer your question, yeah, like growing up with them, I didn't utilize my ability. I never wanted to enforce religion or my beliefs on them. I had a lot of people doing that to me when I was growing up. So I had made that vow that I was going to teach my kids how to live, you know, a decent, normal, everyday life, how to respect other people. But when it comes to their beliefs and their views, I want them to make up their own minds. So I never incorporated church, spirituality, religion. When it came to the psychic stuff, I used it more on my son, because you know how boys are, than I did my daughter. So I wanted them to live a normal everyday life and not incorporate the woo-woo in there and, you know, in parent that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Did they show any kind of natural abilities to what you do, like in the same vein as far as being a medium, or they're just involved in normal everyday life things like most teenagers or adults are?
My daughter, for being the firstborn and having the first hit off of her, she is very intuitive, but it's more of like a common sense type of thing. She's just naturally gifted that way with speech and being able to talk to people and like navigating that way and understanding how people work. My son has more of the ability. He has more of the medium side, and he has shared with me stories that and things that he has seen. We lived in a house in Simi Valley that was haunted that him and I had witnessed. He had told me that he had seen the woman that was there. So he's very much in tune with it, but he's just like my father, who also has the ability. He's scared of it naturally. He's a child. Yeah. But yeah, my son is I would say he's somewhat of a medium.
Yeah, I like that point that you made about the common sense thing. Is there a pretty fine line between common sense and intuitiveness in what you do? Can they be blurred, or are they two completely separate things?
Absolutely. Growing up, again, being psychic and then being, I don't want to big myself up or make me sound like I'm better than everybody else or come across with ego, but I was very smart. I talked.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so incorporating my, because I was bullied a lot as a kid. So incorporating my psychic ability with material manipulation was how I got by in my school years. So my daughter, she was never bullied or anything like that, but she has the ability to look at people and kind of be a good people reader and then incorporate some of her natural built-in smarts to kind of get her around. She's very good at what she does.
I think that is awesome. And I'm so thankful that we were able to connect. My big question is, what's next for you now that you have you've been around for a long time, you've done a lot of media, you've done a lot of radio, like where do you see yourself at? Like where is this going to take you? Like, what do you want to be able to do? What is kind of Chris's dream or Chris's goal for these gifts and abilities that you've been given?
I talk about this all the time. I want to change the face of the metaphysical world. Mm-hmm. I want to really change the way the world views psychics, metaphysical people, spirituality. I want to change the face of it. I want to have people evolve their souls from within. I don't want this to be a hokey gimmick where I'm just reading people and telling them about their past, present, and future. I want to make a difference. I want the world to learn how to heal from within and realize that they have the ability to change their life path. It doesn't necessarily have to be a pill or, you know, 3 or 4 years of long-ass therapy. You have everything that you need to work with in this lifetime, and I want to be able to tap in and show you how to utilize it. So I want to be able to, I mean, to answer your question, to make a long story short, I want to touch a lot of people all at one time, kind of like a Tony Robbins, doing events like that and just traveling around the world and tapping into people and just waking their minds up.
I imagine that you have people reaching out to you pretty regularly trying to ask you how to do this or how to get into this, or would you be my mentor? Do you experience that a lot, or maybe not so much?
Oh, I experience that all the time. I have people reaching out to me wanting me to mentor them or to kind of further develop their psychic or medium abilities. Yeah, it's almost on a daily basis, actually.
So how would you advise those people to, if they want to connect with you or maybe someone else that does the same thing, like what approach would be the best for them to take to connect with someone like yourself and to find somebody as a mentor?
I would tell the first thing, I just to back up here for a second, I don't want to go too far into it, but I used to do a lot of these events, a lot of metaphysical events where there's a bunch of different psychics under one tent and we're reading the public. You know, it's kind of like you pay an entrance fee and you get to see whatever psychic you want.
Sure.
a lot of times people want to get involved in the metaphysical world because they naturally enjoy helping people. It distracts them from their everyday life and what's going on with them. So a lot of times when I was doing these events, a lot of people would reach out. They knew that I was the real deal and ask, you know, can I, you know, can you mentor me? Can you do this for me? Can you help me out with this? Help me develop. And the first thing I would tell them is, like, you know, because I'm reading them, is you got to overcome all the bullshit that you're going through in life right now. You got to rid yourself of any negative way of thinking here and realize that you got to sweep up your life and take care of everything underneath your umbrella before you venture into helping somebody else, because the public will be able to read that. There have been people that would, you know, go and do these events that you can just tell that they're, I mean, I don't want to shit on anybody, but their life wasn't the way that they put it out there. They were struggling with things here. There was issues with them going on here. So the very first thing I do is tell people, be real with yourself, be willing to expose yourself and really, you know, tap into who you are to share the experience with the person that you're reading or the person that you're mentoring under. You know what I'm saying? Like being open yourself of anything that would be holding you back or that would limit you.
Wow. Such good advice. And I appreciate you, Chris, just sharing that and sort of delving in a little bit about what it is that you do and just the experiences you've had. So we talked off tape about this. I think we could do this if your game is, let's do a little mini reading. I've never done it before, so I don't know how to do it or where it starts. But I think just for me and for you and for our listeners, this is going to be something fun and interesting. And I was sharing with Chris jokingly that I've talked about a lot on the show. So I don't think there's anything that I haven't talked about. I guess we'll find out here in a couple minutes, but I would just kind of love to experience this however you want to do it, whatever we need to do. I don't want to go any further than that because I don't want to ask any silly questions that you said people have asked you before. Yeah, so no. Let's dive into it.
For sure. I'm going to go ahead and just intro it like I would a normal reading over the phone. So the first thing I tell somebody is just right off the bat, I do not discuss death and I will never discuss anything that's going to scare the shit out of you. No scare tactics to get you to believe what I say or anything like that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. So before we get into it, is there anything that you want me to stay away from?
No, I don't. You can talk about whatever you feel needs to come up. Go for it. I guess we could always edit later, but I don't think we'll need to.
And the second thing is, for the first couple of minutes of the reading, I'm going to go in and give you what my guides are giving me to give you directly. And then I'll open the reading up to any questions that you have in regards to what I said. Or if you want to know about something that we didn't get a chance to touch on, we could do it at that time. Does that work?
Perfect.
Okay. And then the final thing is, I want you to feel free to jump in to call bullshit at any time. Do not hold back. Do not worry about hurting my feelings or not wanting to, you know, make me look bad or anything like that. I want you to step up and say, no, if that doesn't resonate or that feels completely off, when I do hit step, simply confirm yes, but do not give me any additional details, okay?
Perfect.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so right off the bat, I've seen a picture of you, so I know what you look like. And the first thing that your guides are coming through and they're telling me is getting you to realize your worth. I know you know who you are at the end of the day and what you're capable of doing here, but there's a lot of past issues when it comes to your way of thinking, a lot of things that have not resolved themselves emotionally that you, again, I don't want to make it all doom and gloom here and say that, you know, that you're an emotional bag of sap or anything like that, but there's things that you haven't really come to terms with or that you haven't fully let go of. So your guides are going to do a real number on you before the end of this year of getting you to see, or I call this mirror reflecting some of the changes that you need to make in your life so that way you can be a little bit more freer. Your mind and the way that you think could be all over the place. You analyze everything and you can be very critical and over analyzing when it comes to things here. So it's not necessarily slowing your mind down, but allowing yourself the opportunity to handle what's within your control and leave everything else that's not in your control out here. Because what it does is it does a number on your way of thinking, and it kind of, I wouldn't say it causes anxiety, but it really makes you feel like you're not doing enough. There's a lot of your self-worth here. Does that make sense?
Oh God, yes. And the anxiety part, I think, is correct. You have no idea. That is very, very spot on, 100%.
I really feel like with you, again, that you're, again, who isn't, but you could be very hard on yourself. And I think that, you know, taking some downtime and realizing who you are and everything that you're doing and all your talents, and I'm going to say that because they keep referencing the word talents to me, is what's going to set you apart, and it's going to push you further out here. You got to start being real with yourself and really taking a good look at yourself and honoring your appearance and what you look like. I know it's very contradictory to what I do here because I'm telling people that I need to put myself out there, but for you, it's really a good idea to really take a good look and start changing your appearance and being a little bit more comfortable with who you are. It seems like, again, you got a great speaking voice, but there's something about you that's very arm's length when it comes to putting yourself out in the public with your face and your appearance. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So would that be like physical appearance, like maybe a beard or a goatee or the way I dress, those kinds of things, or more just...
Yeah, like owning your appearance. I mean, I don't want to say anything about the way that you dress or, you know, your physical appearance, like with, you know, facial hair or anything like that. It's really putting yourself out there and being comfortable with putting yourself out in the public eye. It isn't, again, you can change or alter your appearance any way that you want to, but it's being comfortable in your own skin and doing you and realizing, again, your worth and what you have to offer here, because I feel like there's a lot of great ideas. Your career is what you're putting forward, is what you're putting first here. Your career and putting yourself out there. I know that you have a kid and that you got your family life and all that other stuff here, but you finding stability and finding that foundation that can hold you for the next 6 or 7 years, I feel is what you're looking for right now.
Oh God, yes. So yeah, 100%.
I feel like you're going to find that, and that you are going to find that mental peace, or that kind of like that I don't think that you'll ever find 100% peace or be 100% at ease with who you are, because again, you're a planner. You're always planning the next event or planning what else you can do here. So your mind is always forward thinking here, but at least you'll be in a space to be like, you know what? I don't feel like I have to struggle or prove my worth anymore. And that's going to come into play. There's some good opportunities coming in for you this year that are going to really open your eyes. And it's, again, I want these words to haunt you. I want to manipulate you with this. It's realizing your self-worth and taking yourself to the next level, because you got a lot of, can I just ask you a personal question?
Sure.
What happened in your last relationship?
It's kind of hard to explain, but you know, it was kind of along the same lines of what you were describing.
Yeah.
You know, I was never fully confident. I never fully, you know, believed that my wife loved me or cared for me. I was always second guessing things that she was doing, and so I would do things to kind of, I guess, cause ripple in the water, so to speak, almost like, I don't want to say self-sabotaging, but kind of in a way a little bit, like we fought a lot. That was probably the biggest thing, that, and I was afraid to talk to her and tell her things and just kind of be the real authentic person with her that I really am. And I don't know, there's a lot of things that could have led to the demise of our relationship, but I think that was kind of the short version of it, so to speak. It was just a lot of fighting, a lot of arguing. Nothing ever got physical in that regard, but there was just a lot of things. And even to this day, as good of a relationship as we have co-parenting my son, there is still this underlying thing that doesn't trust her 100%, even though she's never done anything to prove me wrong, if that makes any sense.
I feel that I the way that I look at it, and when I see the two of you guys together, I don't even know what she looks like. I've seen a picture of you, like I said a second ago, but when it comes to you and her, I feel like you guys just know each other too well, and she can make you feel a little self-conscious or a little out of the box, because she can, you feel like she can see through you, and the same thing with her. So it's too much, I don't want to say it's too much of a connection there, but there's too much baggage there for you guys to fully be comfortable with each other, and that is going to subside. There's going to be some changes that are going to take place. I wouldn't say the relationship is going to be 100% better, but it will be a little bit more easier to deal with one another. Again, I'm not saying it's completely hard now, but you won't have those feelings anymore, especially towards this coming August, when things really start to shift for you and really start to change your way of thinking. Because again, you have a lot of letting go to do of here, a lot of really taking in your emotions and coming to terms with who you are here. Again, the anxiety is something that I don't like to make light of mental health, anxiety, depression, or anything like that, but a lot of times people that are intuitive or their intuition is talking to them, it causes a lot of anxiety, because that person knows that there's something that they have to do or something to change here. And it causes that anxiety because we worry, what's going to happen? I feel this. I don't know what I'm going to do here. And I feel like that's what makes you kind of go a little bit overboard. And it kind of makes you a little bit outside of the box here, instead of taking that downtime to realize, okay, what's going on? What are you trying to tell me? What is my next step here? What do I need to do? And again, with you, I see them walking you to the mirror and getting you to take a real good look at who you are. What makes Brett? Who is Brett? What does Brett want to represent? What does he want to do for the next, like I said, 6 or 7 years with his career here? What is your mission? What is your purpose here? What have I learned?
Oh, makes perfect sense.
When is your birthday?
August 16th.
Oh, you're a Leo. Do you know what you probably don't know anything about astrology, do you?
Not really. Just for the simple fact, I've never really understood it, so to speak.
What is the year of your birth?
74.
You can edit that out if you don't want to. Let me just take a quick look at what your moon is in real fast. Because the room... Okay, so you are a double Leo. So your sun is in the sign of Leo. That's the placement of the sun at the time of your birth. That's where you go find out your horoscopes. You also have a moon sign, which rules your emotions and how you think. And that's also in the sign of Leo as well, too. So it's a lot of depression is not a word that you like. I find that Leos, very much because they are ruled by the sun, they do not like depression. They do not like handling big things. So they'll sweep a lot of shit under the rug.
Yes.
Rip over it. Love, I don't mean to call you love. I talk to women a lot, but you've got to realize your worth here and start coming into that Leo energy and really, you know, taking control and coming into your power. It's okay to be emotional. You don't have to be in an emotional sap here and be overly emotional on a daily basis where you're crying, but come to terms with who you are and allow yourself the opportunity to forgive yourself and to forgive other people here. Because again, your child, the relationship that you have with this child, you're going to have to teach them the same things that you go through, that you went through here. So it'd be wise for you to start getting a handle on it now and really absorb what it is that they're telling you, because you got a great future ahead of you. We'll get into your health in a second, in your physical health and all that. But for the most part here, your way of thinking and what your business is going to be here, I see it excelling. I see you being very successful in it. But again, I don't want you to be successful in that and not be successful with yourself within. Physical health, really fast. How is that? How is your blood?
I mean, it's okay. I'm not as in good of shape as I could be. I think it all goes hand in hand, so to speak, as far as that sort of thing. It's not the greatest. It's been better in the past, but ever since my divorce, I kind of have not really paid as much attention to it as I have in the past.
That's what I'm telling you right now. Again, I don't want to, you know, pat myself on the shoulder, but when I see somebody walking towards a mirror, it's a very vivid image in my mind's eye of somebody walking to the mirror. That always tells me, again, your guides are going to put you in front of there because they're going to start to break down who you are and start realizing your worth. I know that you're a good person at the end of the day and you have a lot to offer here, but I don't think that you're feeling that from within and allowing yourself the opportunity, again, to own that. And behind the relationship you had with your ex-wife here and realize that, again, it's 50-50. Yeah, you may have caused some of the stuff too, and she may have done it here, but there's no need to have those types of feelings here. And it's just being comfortable and coming into who you are and allowing yourself the again, I keep repeating myself, allowing yourself the opportunity to realize your worth and allow yourself the opportunity to let go and be comfortable in your own skin. Physical health one more time here. How is your sleep patterns lately? Because it seems like you're not, there's an imbalance. I don't know if you have issues with your thyroid or your energy levels here, but there's an imbalance when it comes to, and I don't want to say hormones, but I talk to women a lot too, but there's an imbalance here when it comes to your energy levels.
Oh yeah, that's very true. It's off or on as far as sleep.
Have you had your levels checked yet to make sure there was something off, or I don't want to say hormonally, I'm not a doctor, but there's something off there that I don't know if it's the food that you're eating and that, you know, you eat a little bit cleaner and, you know, get a little bit more exercise here, but there's an imbalance. It's nothing too far off the end that's going to kill you or that's going to bring you down for a long time. It's just leveling things out.
Yeah, no, that's, I've had that checked before and I've taken things, like natural supplements like ashwagandha and those sort of things, to kind of cortisol management to kind of even things out when necessary. Yes.
Okay, yeah. It's in. I mean, that is majorly what I see right now. As far as like, again, I can do the past life type stuff, but I find a lot of times, again, there's no way to validate that. I don't want to go too far back, so I'll go into the future here. When it comes to you, again, I just don't think that your who you are as a person, your life path here, is going to be something that you're going to be struggling with for the rest of your life here. I don't like to, again, here's where it's going to sound like I'm coming from a place of ego. Anytime that I'm reading somebody, because of the way that I read, I'm very direct and I don't bullshit here. I feel like that is what the person is looking for, why their guides put them in my place here, is to wake them up and open their minds here. So telling you, again, not mentally manipulating you by telling you that your life isn't going to be filled with shit for the rest of your life, and telling you that you are going to overcome, that's what you need to hear in order for you to get on the path here, because you got a lot of good things that are coming to you that you're obviously going to work hard for. I don't want you to work hard for those, get it, and then not really feel it. Kind of feel like, is this going to be taken away from me, or how much longer do I get to enjoy this feeling here? I want you to be comfortable and enjoy it for as long as you want to, without worrying about what's going to come in here and take it away from you.
No, that all makes perfect sense. Absolutely.
So do you have any questions so far? Like, how do you feel about it?
I think you're 100% right on. I don't think you've said anything that is inaccurate or false or anything like that. I think that you're pretty right on with most of that stuff that I've even heard before in different contexts, but I think it's spot on. Stuff I've struggled with for a very long time. I love it. I think you covered a lot of ground, and I appreciate that. I think everything was 100% accurate that you said. Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. That is fantastic. I love it, and I appreciate you taking the time to share.
You're so welcome.
So if people want to learn more about you, how can they do that? Where can they go?
Yeah, they can visit my website, chrismedina.guide. You can fill out a request for a reading there. We can either do a half an hour session or an hour session via telephone. If you're in the Los Angeles area, I can come directly to you, or we can do a Skype if you're out of the country. Any which way you want to do it, set up a reading through there, chrismedina.guide. If you want to take a look at me, all my social media stuff, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's at Psychic Chris M. And I have a podcast called In Your Head Podcast. It's on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Audio Boom. Feel free to check that out. It's very much the way that we're talking now. It's honest. It's upfront. It's about spirituality. I have all kinds of great guests coming on. You're going to have to definitely make an appearance for sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But yeah, that's basically it. That's how you get a hold of me.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you for being a part of the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Brett, for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
All right, Chris Medina. All of his information will be available in our show notes. Thank you so much for joining in. Be sure to head over to theopenmicpodcast.net for all things open mic. I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Stay warm, stay cold, wherever you're at on this big, beautiful planet. Until next time, be blessed.
That brings today's episode to a close. Thanks for listening in. If you enjoyed today's episode, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a kind rating and review. It really does help. Until next time, cheers and be well.